Show presents Scratch a Track,
the podcast where we debate which track to scratch off some of the most known and unknown albums of all time.
We live in an era of singles.
This is an album.
People no longer listen to an album for the work it truly is.
It kind of defines a band.
It's just not something that people relate to nowadays.
We've all gotten the dreaded.
Started out as a game.
Which track on the album would you scratch out if you had to?
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Scratch the Track podcast presented by the Dude and Grim Show. I am the Dude.
And I am Grim, and today we are talking about Seeds by TV on the Radio.
Yes, we are.
As of late, the most recent album that they've released.
Which is crazy because it's 2014. And
I know.
Here's the thing. I don't know if they've got another one in them. And you know, since we have everyone here, first of all, we should ask you to go ahead and
like, subscribe, and comment.
And what I would like you to comment below on is, look, this is their most recent album. Does anybody know if they like officially broken up? Because I don't know if that's like they've announced that, or you know, they're working on other projects. I'm not really sure, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think part of the reason it, you know, this is the first album they did after their bassist Gerald Smith passed away in 2011. And so I think this, they might have kind of just like left it all out there, because I didn't know about that incident until I actually started researching this album.
I didn't either.
And so things really kind of, I was like, wow, okay, that means something different than I thought it did.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, so I read about Gerard Smith, right? Their bassist. Gerald. Yeah. Huh? I think it's
Gerald.
Pretty sure it's Gerard. Gerard.
I could add an autocorrect. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, died at 36 from lung cancer. I mean, damn, that is. And it's funny, as I'm like about to turn 40, I think about it. I'm like, God, dude, that's, I've already lived another, you know what I mean? It just, it's crazy to think of someone passing away at 36 for something like lung cancer. Don't know if he was a smoker or anything, if any of that had a contribution to it, or if he just got lung cancer, because cancer's a real motherfucker like that, and it can just get people. It's really terrible, and it was interesting though, because they wrote a song about him on the Nine Types of Light album, Killer Crane, that was dedicated to him. But other bands, one of which is the Dirty Projectors, wrote a song about him too.
Interesting.
And I'm not a huge fan. My wife Lisa introduced me to the Dirty Projectors. Not a huge fan of them, but I think that's awesome that they wrote that song about him. I think that's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't say I know a whole lot about him as a, you know, bass player or a story. I mean, it sounds like, you know, he's been with the band. The band had been together for a while, and yeah, it's pretty tough. But it sounds like to me, just even doing reading and stuff, you know, they took after that happened, they took time off, and I think this is maybe their way of their kind of therapy.
Yeah, sure.
Did you read
about how he came to be in the band? Because that is an interesting story. Apparently, Tunde, who is the lead singer, and dude, I'm really gonna try here, but Tunde Adebimpe is the lead singer of the band. So apparently Gerard Smith was in other bands. I mean, there was one called Midnight Masses and a Rose Parade, which he was in these bands, and I think they're all Brooklyn based. But he was busking in a subway, like in the subway station at Bedford, in Brooklyn. And I guess Tunde saw him busking and really liked what he was doing. And he left like money in his thing several times. But what Gerard Smith, I guess, didn't realize at first was that he was really into film. And Tunde had been in this movie called Jump Tomorrow on IFC. And it took him a minute, but eventually he recognized Tunde from this movie. And I think something that was interesting was he eventually approached him and said, "Man, I saw you in this movie. I love the movie." And I think one thing he said that to him, it was a big deal because in this movie, Tunde wasn't just a black actor. He was just a person.
Right.
And he said it meant a lot to him. And he was a black actor that wasn't in the ghetto. And it was just, he was just a fucking person in the movie, which I think is really, really interesting. And so after that interaction, I guess Tunde recruited him to be in the band. And
sweet.
Yeah. There you have it.
I mean, that's pretty great, dude. What a good story.
I know. I know. It's a really cool story. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, with this album, I think, like I said, they'd had a break. They didn't have an obligation to the record contract, recording studio, in anything like that, or record label. I mean, not recording studio.
Yeah.
And so they went to how do you say his name? Dave Siddick.
Yeah, Siddick. Yeah,
Siddick. His home studio, which. It sounds like just from a little bit of reading I did, he might be producing other bands.
Oh, he is. I think he's done stuff with, let me pull it up. But I mean, we're talking bands like Weezer and like he's done some, Yeah. He's done stuff with Jane's Addiction too. Production. Oh, yeah. God, dude. Production. He's done a lot of production work. The Yeah. The OCs? Oh, fuck. He did the OCs. I like the OCs. Yeah, I mean, there's Santa Gold. Definitely heard of Santa Gold. It looks like he's done all the Yeah Yeah Yeahs albums. Dude, Pussy Riot, Straight Out of the Vagina. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They're a Russian band. And there was actually like a big thing about them because they were like doing these protests in Russia and it was a big deal. But yeah, Pussy. Dude, he did Weezer's Black album, Our Lady Peace. Wow. Interesting.
Okay.
So his list of like production work is quite Bat for Lashes, I've heard of her. It's pretty impressive.
Well, so they went out to L.A. because that's where I guess his home studio is. And I think all the previous albums they'd actually done in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And I think Tunde even said that wherever I don't know if this has to do with their most recent albums up to this point. But in the interview, I said he was like, he mentioned that where their previous studio was now that there's a J. Crew. So wherever they recorded, maybe it was their first couple albums or something like that. He was like, there's a J. Crew there now. So,
and I believe he was also quoted as saying, it's nice to be somewhere when you're not exactly on the clock and worried about how much everything is costing you, which amen to that.
Yeah. There's that too. And it's interesting because one of the, you know, the previous scratch we did last week was the Who's Tommy. And we were talking about how they were in this studio for like 6 months, like writing the album. And then they'd have to play shows on the weekend just to like cover the costs and everything. Whereas on this, man, if you just got somebody who's got a home studio, like I have a feeling they probably weren't paying a whole lot of money to, you know, for whatever. And you probably just stay there. And, you know, there, it seems like, again, me not being a musician, but I've heard a lot of stories about how bands really like to either go to someone's home or rent a house and kind of have their studio in there and live there. And it just becomes kind of like
this collaborative space and
where you can do whatever you want. I can also see it from the perspective of there's something about going to a studio, a space that is specifically dedicated
for
that purpose. You don't have maybe distractions and things. you know, that you would have, but then, you know, there's the whole money aspect to it and everything. So,
well, yeah. And to finish out that quote that I had just mentioned about not worrying about what it costs you, this is something that I found particularly interesting. And he said, it was pretty much the same situation as when we started making music. Now, for a band who's been around for quite a while and done a lot of things, that has to be a wonderful feeling to just do it for the reason that you always wanted to do it in the first place. Right?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, there's some other, I read a few articles where I think Dave Siddick even said, I believe it was him saying this. And he was like, you know, we didn't have a label, so we didn't have to do it. We did this album because we wanted to do it.
I was going to say that, and that's amazing.
And that's the best reason to have to do it. You're not feeling you're in debt to anyone. It's like, no, we're doing this for us. We're, you know, is it a tribute to him, right? So,
well, and I guess they announced in 14 when the album came out or prior to its release that they've been through a lot of stuff the last few years. Well, of course we talked about that. But they said they got it together and took stock of the unique connection they have with each other. And they said the record is 1,000% without a doubt the best thing we've ever done.
Well, it's my favorite of theirs.
I agree. As a whole, it is definitely my favorite of theirs too.
I would say this one and Dear Science. I'm a huge fan of Dear Science.
I honestly really like their first one, and it's interesting because when I think about how I got introduced to this band, I can't tell you how I got introduced to this band. Because there was a period in my life where
I heard them through you.
I would every week or every couple weeks, I would order a CD off of Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I ordered something and I think it suggested TV on the Radio. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to check it out. I think the name is cool. I'm going to check it out.
The name is cool. It is. That is one of the best band names ever. TV on the Radio, mm-hmm. man.
I ordered their first album, Desperate Youth and Bloodthirsty Babes.
Bloodthirsty Babes. Yeah.
And I remember just putting on that first track and hearing the horns and then that guitar. And I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, I remember... And we were fans of them, but I remember you coming to Lollapalooza and we were around and I don't even know. I think we were walking to like another stage and then I don't know if we went specifically to their stage. I feel like I did
because I knew they were playing and I wanted to see them.
Because I just remember walking by and being like, oh, that's TV on the Radio. Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. Like there they are. And that was, you know, it was when they had one of their, you know, they weren't a headliner. So it was one of the 45-minute sets that we caught. And yeah.
But I think it was after Return really to Cookie Mountain had been released. Because I think I remember them playing Wolf Like Me.
I heard that.
Yeah. Okay. And I think I remember them playing Wolf Like Me, which is my favorite song off Return to Cookie Mountain. Which brings me to... You sent me the interview to watch with them regarding Seeds and how they recorded it, which I found very interesting. Yeah. And then, of course, in pure YouTube fashion, which I love, it suggests other things. And one of the things it suggested was this video that said, kids interview bands. And I'm like, this sounds interesting because I have a 6-year-old daughter and she will ask some like far out things. So I figured it would be really funny to watch. And the kid who interviewed them was this cute little girl. And she asked some funny things. But the best thing she asked is she's like, what kind of cookies is Return to Cookie Mountain made out of? And the band handled it. The band was so great. I think it was Toonday and it was Dave Siddick in the interview. Okay. And they were like, you know, no one's ever asked us that question before, which I thought it was really cute.
That's awesome, man. It's funny when you get that because you know, sometimes in some of these interviews,
and after these bands,
they're like, sweet, I get to answer this question for the 10,000th time, just so you can quote it in your article.
Fine, I'll do it.
They're just so checked out. But like that kind of question, they're like,
oh, they both laughed. It was great.
Yeah.
Now, how did you hear about this album? I didn't mean to step on your toes there, but yeah,
no. So I was just, you know, I was a fan of, I liked their early stuff. I had Return to Cookie Mountain, and then, I didn't listen to them for a while, but then I think Dear Science came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to pick that up. So I picked that up and I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Or what? Something weird happened. Like this was back in the day before I would say downloading music on iTunes and all that stuff was kind of tried and true. And
it just
wasn't like, even getting, there wasn't like the iCloud match and all that stuff. Yeah. I forget whenever it came out. So I downloaded it, and for some reason my download was like messed up, and it just started with Family Tree, which I think is like song 5 or something. Weird. And so I thought that's like how the album started. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's an interesting way. And then somehow down the road, all of a sudden it was like, oh no, that's not the first song. There's like four or five other songs before that. And I was like, okay, well, that's a bonus, right? Cool.
And this is Dear Science, right?
Yeah, it's Dear Science.
Because, dude,
yeah.
I love the first track on that album, which is Halfway Home.
It was Halfway Home.
Oh, man, that's a good track.
Well, and then, dude, I'm going to be honest, man. I downloaded and bought Nine Types of Light because I liked the single off that song.
Okay.
And maybe I need to go back and listen to it. It just hasn't resonated with me. I haven't loved Nine Types of Light. And then this album came out. And I was like, all right, whatever. I'm gonna give them another shot. I think I heard Happy Idiot probably as a single, and I was like, okay, it's kind of catchy and stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna give it a shot. And man, I just put it on, and there were some songs that I was like, dude, this is really good, man. I dug it. So yeah. that's kind of what happened for me.
So man, I had purchased also Dear Science on CD because I wasn't totally like collecting vinyl at that point, which probably would get it on vinyl now. I really liked the album, but I didn't think much else of it because not to say that I'm like, you know, scouring the internet for like, is this band going to release something? I just hadn't thought about it. And then one day my wife and I went to the record store, and dude, Lisa grabbed this album Seeds on vinyl. And I had not heard it. I didn't know that they even released an album. Yeah. And, you know, of course we brought it home and put it on. I'm like, damn, this is really awesome. Like, fuck, this is a really good album. And then of course, dude, looking at the packaging, which I think we got to put the B-roll stuff on this one, which we did for the vinyls episode. But dude, pay attention to the B-roll as we're talking about it, because I have never seen a more fantastic idea and design with album packaging. Yeah. And then it was even cool because when we were talking about it, you told me that like you can't get this album right now on vinyl.
I mean, you can find it on Discogs, I'm sure, but I've looked at my local shop. I can't find it. And just even going to their website, I haven't been able to find it either. So,
It's hefty. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's two records and it's two 180s. I'm quite sure. Ooh. And dude, just with every surface of it, and even some of the spots in the book, I mean, and this is cool too. I like that. But dude, the way that the, when you move that little film over it, which we're showing it right now. It's so amazing. I mean, it's like this animation sequence. This
hologram animation.
Oh, it's so cool. It is. I remember seeing that and I was like, I thought about it. I thought, man, I've never seen a design more unique in any sort of packaging.
No, yeah, dude, I'm 100% with you, man. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan.
And to boot, the album's really awesome too. So I mean,
you know. There's that. So when they were getting down to recording this, like Tunde said, you know, there's a couple different numbers they threw out. Like I think Dave said it was 50. Tunde said it was 60 or something like that.
But a bunch of songs.
They had a bunch of, you know, snippets, sounds, some stuff they said was like some really just like far out shit.
Which I would actually like to hear, because their music is kind of far out just as it is.
It is. So it's like, man, what do they consider far
out? What is their kid A? I'd like to know.
Yeah, what is their far out? But then he said, I think it was, he had sort of almost like thousands of these little snippets, even of him, just like audio and whether it's humming or he's doing certain things. And so he brought like the most recent couple months, and then they had these other tracks, and he was like, basically he called them voice notes. That's what he called them.
Like on your phone.
Start.
I do song ideas like that all the time on the notes thing on the iPhone.
Sweet. Yeah. I mean, dude, now that you have like a handheld recorder, like, that does a million other things.
Yeah.
But then they take those, they narrow them down to like 20 tracks or so. Mm-hmm. And then they pick sort of 10 to 12 that they wanted to work on. And, you know, one thing he said that was like, he's like, you know, we'd work on it and we'd, you know, pick out songs and we kind of work on them quickly. They didn't overthink things. But if something didn't get finished in 2 or 3 days, then they just drop it. It was just like, boop. All right. Yep. It's not.
That is interesting. It needs to get done. Yeah.
Moving on. Next. But he said this album actually went really quickly, and he thinks part of it was taking some time off to do it. But he also said, you know, much to our surprise, you know, we know what we're doing now, and it hasn't always been like that.
Yeah.
So it was nice to find out that we could just kind of go and do that. And, you know, that was something they were excited about and proud of. And it's like, you know, at what is this, their fifth studio album? They've been doing it for a while, especially with Dave being sort of like a producer and whatnot. It's like, man, you just go in there and kind of get it done. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, don't overthink it. Right. So.
And it's interesting because, and we can get into this a little more in the tracks. But one thing I've noticed about TV on the radio is there are some songs where you can hear like a predominant guitar part or something.
But there are
some songs where you're like, you really wonder how they came up with it, because the predominant thing is something you can't even put your finger on. And that's one thing that's interesting when you look at the band and you look at the credits, because most of the guys in the band get credits for other things that they play, but almost every one of them says loops or sequencers. So they all just kind of mess with this shit. Yep. Yeah, it's really interesting.
And so it was funny that you bring that up, because especially with this album, I tried to kind of pinpoint what I liked about it. And at least with this album, there's not many moments where I'm just like blown away by some sort of like instrument part or
it's great. Dude,
it's such a pleasing sound, and his voice, it's interesting because I don't want to say he doesn't sing, because he does sing.
Oh yeah, he does.
The way he delivers his vocals is very different. It's hard to explain.
Well, I understand.
Because it is singing, but it's just very different. It's hard for me to articulate that.
You know, and so this leads me to where we're at, to some of these reviews that I think a lot of the reviews are really shitty, man. Like, and I'm not going to like read the actual reviews, but just some of the numbers. Any decent music? I don't know who you are. You only gave it a 72 or a 7.2 out of 10. So basically a 72 out of 100. That's too low.
I gave it a 72.
No, they gave it a 78. That still sucks.
Okay.
All right. Dude, All Music gave it 4 stars. I agree with this. AV Club gave it a C. Fuck off. Q Point and Entertainment Weekly both gave it an A-. I think that's okay. But, you know, there's just... even Pitchfork, dude, and I generally tend to kind of agree with Pitchfork, although apparently they gave one of Kanye West's albums a 10 out of 10 upon its release. I would like to get a bag of whatever you were smoking that day, because Jesus. But
hey, if it was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, I don't know if I give it a 10 out of 10.
But no, I wouldn't. I would not give it a 10 out of 10. And
very generous.
Yeah, it's extremely generous. Like, you must feel sorry for him because he's fucking nuts. But even Spin only gave it a 7 out of 10. And I just, I think those reviews are kind of shitty. Like,
That's the reviews for you, though, man. They're just always all over the place.
Yeah, I know. And it makes me kind of question a lot of that. Like, I don't know, but that's another conversation, I suppose.
It is, but quickly, I mean, I think that's something, you know, you and I, not to say that they're reviews, but when we do our first impressions, like, it's a first impression. Is it a review? It sort of is, but it's not like, hey, this is etched in stone, like, this is how I feel about the album. It's because you need time with the album.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And I think that's where a lot of these people, and this is kind of shitty of me to say, because it sounds pretentious.
He's going to say it.
And I don't, I am. And I don't mean it like that. But some of these people that do things, I'm like, have you ever made a fucking album? Do you play an instrument? So how credible is your, and not to say that anything I've done,
because I haven't.
Well, yeah, but you actually at least have a reasonable mind in terms of, I don't know. That's just me ranting, but
I could probably even debate that. I definitely hear what you're saying.
Feel like you view things in a pretty even keel way.
Well, yeah, I try to. I try to put both shoes on other feet and see what happens.
Sure. Yeah. See if you can walk. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard.
So. Dude.
Anyways. You know, on the title of the album Seeds, Tunde said, you know, it makes a lot of sense now that I think about it, but it was the idea of regeneration or something growing back into place.
Yeah. Which
makes perfect sense after losing someone who basically you'd probably consider, you know, to be a brother. So I thought that was really cool, but so much of and we can probably start getting into the tracks now. So,
yeah.
So much of this really, made a lot more sense. You know, after reading this and kind of getting an idea where their heads are at while they were making the album. And, you know, even as we go through the tracks, when I was like listening to him and make him, like, I've listened to this album probably 100 times, if not more. I mean, I've listened to it so many times. I started making my notes and I'm like, man, it's weird because there's so many things. And like we talked about, I'm like, nothing really. I was like, I love this song. It's a great song.
But why?
And yet I can't pinpoint like this moment or this tone, or I love this transition or this guitar riff or whatever. It's just like, no, like we talked about the whole of it.
I know.
So I might actually, I mean, I have notes on all of these songs, but it's going to be hard to really, I think, talk specifics, but let's give it a shot.
Yeah. So Quartz.
All right. Quartz. Dude, this one starts so interesting.
I know.
It's like in the middle of some sort of harmonic chant that they're doing. It almost doesn't start on time.
I know. And that's what I think is kind of cool about it, because, you know, just to put the needle down or pit play or whatever you're going to do, it almost takes you off guard.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And, yeah.
You know, to me, it feels like a warm up. It's not, again, like many of the songs on this album, it's not guitar driven.
No,
it just has this kind of beat and sort of these, kind of classic background vocals, and they have that kind of harmony going and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool. I mean, I like how it seems like they all kind of sing background vocals on it.
Yeah. And one thing I guess I was going to say about that is I get, especially someone who's like you and myself and probably a lot of the audience who's listened to many albums that have like some sort of slow buildup. It's just very interesting to listen to something that is the complete antithesis of that. But at the same time, mm-hmm. You like it.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So careful, you.
Careful, you. So I like that this song starts off with him like kind of singing French.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I
agreed.
So I guess his wife is French.
And oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess okay. That's... I imagine that's, you know, why you put that in there. Now, I feel bad. I did not do my homework. I should have looked up what those words mean, but it sounds good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm like, yeah.
Now, one thing I like is the play on words in this one where right? He says, yes. I care for you, careful, like the way that those, that struck me about this. The way they do.
Yeah, I put that down as well because I always knew this song was Careful You, but the way he sings it, I'm just like, wait, dude, he's saying
Careful You.
And I thought it was really cool. But again, there's things that all of a sudden, like these lyrics, you know, I know it's best to say goodbye, but I can't seem to move away, where you're just like, okay, that makes more sense now. Like yeah, I just didn't know, man.
Yeah.
And so things just get a little bit of a heavier, deeper meaning.
Yeah, sure.
Even though in a weird way, it's, you know, when people, you think about losing someone probably that close to you, you're like, oh, we're going to put maybe some more intense, darker songs and stuff. The feeling of a lot of these songs
is not
even
that
though they may be. No, even though they might be deeper and thoughtful, they're not this, there's some remorse and some sadness for sure.
Yeah, but overall, I find the album to be uplifting.
Melancholy. Yeah. It's almost like, at least from a musical perspective, hey, you know, we've come to terms with it, and it's that process,
yeah, I guess. Sure.
So, anyways. Sure. Song number three, Could You?
I don't know.
Yeah, well... So the first two songs, I wouldn't say, maybe they're a little chiller, a little slower. This one actually starts and it has, you know, it's more a beat and that there's like a sort of a rock groove to it.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm trying to think what lyrics stand out.
I can't remember. I think it's this one. Could you, it's got the guitar, right? Like, mm-hmm. Now, there are different, and this is oh, that's okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's a 12 string. I don't know, but I think that's a 12 string that they do that. And I really like that song, and I love the way that the 12, or I'm going to say the 12 string, but I really love the way the guitar goes with the vocal melody.
Yeah. No, 100% right. I do like that. It is, you know, da-na-na-na,
yeah.
Da-na-na-na. It does have a nice groove, and I really do kind of like, there's a few songs that do have that more guitar driven. Yep. This is one of them.
And there's, and you're going to have to remind me of the one, because I did not put this in my notes, and I wish I would have. But there's one that really starts with, like, distortion. And I was going to talk about the different types of distortion. Okay. But we'll get there when we get there.
Well, the next song, Happy Idiot, is the single off the album. And for me, I love this song.
I do too.
I think it's great.
And I love the lyrics. I mean, it's so perfect for our time.
It is, right? It's, yeah. To me, it's, you know, the idea of a happy idiot, someone, at least the way I interpret it, someone who's very naive person, mm-hmm. buries their head in the sand, only focuses on, you know, what's in front of them.
Dude,
you know,
ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, what you don't know won't hurt you. Yeah, yeah. Ignorance is bliss. I'm a happy idiot.
Yeah.
And dude, I will be 100% honest. There are times where I am like that in life as well. When it comes to certain things, I'm just like, man, I got other shit I got to worry about.
I understand. And I think to some degree, everyone's like that. You know, you can't be 100% woke all the time on everything that's going on. Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's like if you live in a major city and you go to the grocery store, there's those people standing outside and they got like the green vests on. And I'm like, dude, I want to save the rainforest too. I do, but I don't have time to listen to you talk to me for 10 minutes and sign some paper that I got to be honest, probably isn't going to do anything. But yeah, I support your cause from afar and I'm going to try not to fuck it up. I'm sorry. Greenpeace or whoever, would you like to be our sponsor?
Well played.
Dude, I cut my plastic pop can things like I do. I don't.
I've actually really tried to just like to use as little plastic as I can. Because, dude, plastic
it's the going worst to fucking
destroy. It's terrible.
How have we not figured that out yet? Like, somebody is just making too much money.
The Plastics Council. And then I remember those commercials when we were younger, and they're like, plastics make it possible. Dude, make what possible? The fucking Great Pacific Garbage Patch? Holy shit, dude. Exactly. Like, God. Anyways.
I mean, dude, it is like the great line from The Graduate, though. He's like, I got something to tell you. I got one word for you. Just one. Don't say anything. Plastics. See, that's why I only drink out of aluminum.
Dude,
I saw an ad the other day, and they're like 90% of everything that's been made out of aluminum has been recycled and put back into making other aluminum. Now,
well, I actually believe that, but here's a line I got for you. Every piece of plastic you've ever used is still here.
Damn.
Think about that. Every fucking bag, every bottle, every goddamn piece of plastic you've ever used is still here.
So I hope you're real proud of yourself.
Yeah, you assholes. So test pilot.
Moving on.
Test pilot.
Damn. All right.
It's a little slower. It kind of takes it down a little bit.
And I'm good with that because
Sure.
Could you and Happy Idiot raise the tempo?
Yeah, I agree.
I like his cadence that he sings with. And here's the thing with this song and many of his songs, you can try to interpret his lyrics, and some of them you certainly can.
But a lot of them you can't.
There's other ones where you're just like, you know. And to be honest, I think sometimes it's just like, hey, these words sound good together. And
yeah, I'm sure.
Sing them, and that's what
you're right.
Yeah, exactly. But what do I have down is, I feel like, with this song is them trying to navigate moving forward after losing, you know, this person, and wow. He says, and we are gliding through the things that tear us apart. We are high. And we are fine, and we're going to need the strength it takes. So pave the way and be the first test pilot. It's like took that to believe. Yeah. It's like hey, we've gone through this. This person's gone. Now we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah,
and we're gonna have to do this for the first time. Wow. And so I, you know, just from a deep symbolic perspective. If other people have thoughts or ideas, please let us know below.
Yeah.
But. Moving on, song 6, Love Stained.
Yeah.
What do I got with this one? So, I mean, it starts off with kind of percussion in sync. Mm-hmm. Synth. He sings it real soft in the beginning, but it's soft, but it's kind of quick.
Yeah.
And then it kind of picks up. I like when he's singing, what is he saying here? He's like, He says, with brutalized romance, our criticized slow dance, your heads, your head. But we're still not afraid to share this with careful awareness. In the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I just love when he gets to that part, man. It's so good. Like, yeah. But another line, dude. Another shining morning and your breaths got you by the lungs. Like, ooh. I think that's kind of a cool line too, man. So there are some things where even if you don't fully understand what he's talking about, they sound good.
It's like very kind of poetic lyrics.
Right.
With Ride, dude, has kind of a longer piano intro.
Dude, it's like over 2 minutes, man.
I know.
And then it kicks in.
Oh,
it does. The funny thing was, though, dude, when I was listening to this, and I look down at the bottom when I'm listening to...
Oh, yeah, where the lyrics
Apple are. Music, it's got the words. So it credited, and I believe this is a mistake by Apple. So Apple, I know you're watching, fix this. Gary Gentry and J.B. Detterline Jr. They're credited at the bottom. And so I'm like, well, that's weird. I'm like, this song, I don't think it's a cover. So I started, I looked up, exactly. So there's a country song performed by David Allen
Coe.
David Allen Coe.
Is it really?
Yeah, well, no, here's the thing. The song by David Allen Coe is called The Ride.
And dude, David Allen Coe is dirty.
Okay. In their database, they must have kind of messed that up and given
the song. Oh, that's interesting.
And I listened to the song, The Ride, and it's not like this.
I would imagine this, because David Allen Coe is a different trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, Anyways, that's really funny.
But the TV on the Radio one, this is one of my favorite songs on the album, man. I love it, dude. I love how it, you know, sometimes I'm like, with a long piano intro like that, you could be like, all right, guys, I'm ready.
Yeah.
But man, once you have that piano intro, once it hits, man, it's good, dude.
Yeah.
It's
good. Agreed.
You know,
right now. Could do a songs of the same name with Van Halen's right now.
Oh, man. Damn.
Anyways.
If only people watch more of those, then we do them. Hey.
Oh, I know.
If any of our longtime fans want us to bring back songs of the same name, please let us know below. Because subscribe and comment below. Just for you. But you know, you said something earlier when we were talking about this album and the songs, and how you're like, you know, there's a guitar in it, but nothing sort of stands out, right? And so there's a guitar in this song, but it's really just kind of used as background, almost like accent, where it's not, you're like, there's a hard, you're listening
like to it. You probably didn't write the song on it, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not. Like, there's just a lot of stuff kind of going on. What is it? Ooh, there's a line. Letting go of the source of loss.
That is kind of
if you think about that for the next 20 minutes, like that's a trippy line.
Yeah.
And I don't know about this, because these guys they smoke a lot of weed, I think. I'm pretty sure I've read that. And man, in that video, that YouTube interview, I was like, man, these guys at points, I know they're really intense, like deep guys. And you can tell that they are extreme intellectuals. Like, these dudes are smart, man. They are smart. But there's this line, an imaginary need for the city little dream. Pass it right now. I was like, all right.
Pass it. All right. Yeah. I'll take it.
Where are we at? Track number 9, Winter. Now, I don't have a lot of notes on this song, but... this song, actually, the sound of it reminded me of some of their some of their earlier stuff, where it's a little more rocky.
Is this the one with the fuzz?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is the one with the fuzz. This is one thing, me being kind of nerdy, but there are different kinds of distortion in a guitar. Yeah. So recently we talked about the White Stripes Elephant. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you listen to Elephant, you hear distortion on the guitar in some of those basic tracks, not the crazy heavy solo bits that are overdubbed, but that is right. True analog distortion, where it's like the result of tube driven amps being cranked up and just, and they usually they have a distortion circuit on them, but that's true analog distortion. Then you got fuzz, and fuzz has its own unique sound. But this one can only be described, and I've seen this on certain pedals, as crunch.
Ooh.
I mean, listen to that distortion and tell me it just doesn't crunch when it's na 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 na. You know, I mean, there's something about it, and I can't describe to you why, but it sounds like crunch. It just is. And fuzz is thicker. It's a fucking square wave, which doesn't exist in nature. Right. But this is crunch. Captain Crunch.
Crunch. Well, dude, speaking of, I don't know, maybe about crunch, but rock, dude, the next song, dude, Lazare, dude, 4,000 years ago.
I know. Is it Lazare or is it laser ray? Like a laser ray, like...
I think he said, doesn't he say Lazare? Lazare, intention. Dude, but this one's another one that's really, really rocks, man.
I know.
And it's interesting because I feel like there are some upbeat songs earlier in the album, but I feel like towards the end, these with Winter
and Lazare,
like, man, they really, really get into it. And there's one part where I really like the way he sings it. Not going to sing it like him, but he's like, you know, well, I heard the psychic sun that she could fuse us into one. If only we could take the light. Well, I got mine. Yeah, I got mine. Oh, dude.
It makes you think of the Black Keys. I got mine.
This is one song. I don't know. I have not. Other than when we saw them in Lollapalooza, I have not seen them on live. Not seen them live.
No, and I have not either.
I would, man, and shit, I don't know if I will now at this point, because I don't know if they're even together. So,
hey, but dude, you got to.
I gotta find a way. Dude, they actually, there's some good YouTube videos of them playing some Dear Science songs live.
Oh, sweet. Like, yeah, I'd like to check that out.
What song is it? It's like Love Dog and DLZ or something. Those are two of my favorite songs on the album.
Yes, those are great songs.
Lonely Little Love Dog.
Yeah.
No one knows. Oh, dude, it's so good. Man, I'm a huge fan of those songs. But we're on this album. So track number 11, Trouble.
I think this is the first use of acoustic. Yeah.
Right.
And I just, there's something that I will always distinctly remember about listening to this for the first time. And just the line, I keep telling myself everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to have songs that express those kind of sentiments, because it's so easy to get lost in the minutiae of just the bullshit that you go through day to day. And you can feel like you're fucked and everything is messed up, but you need songs like this to remind you that it is
okay, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. No. And I mean, and from their perspective, like, man, like it,
sure.
This is, again, this is one of those songs where I'm like, wow, this hits a little deeper now.
Absolutely. Really, really. And I also didn't know that upon like the first listen to the album, because again, didn't even know it was an album.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even this song gets really, really full.
I know.
I think they double the acoustic. It's got synth. It's got the beat. They're singing, and the vocals are doubled. And then they even add background vocals and harmonies. And you're like, dude, you got yourself a stew.
Right? Oh, dude. Yeah. You got a stew going. I think this is probably my favorite song on the album.
Okay. Okay.
There's something that is just a warm, rejuvenating feeling about it, and I really appreciate it for that.
Cool, man, dude, I dig that. If you would have said, hey, what do you think Grimm's favorite song is? I probably would not have picked this one, but I'm glad.
Yeah. You would have picked a rock one.
Eh, I don't know. Maybe.
But see, the thing is, I like fuzz more than I like crunch.
Buzz. Not the fuzz. All right. Now we get to the last track. The
title track. Titled
track. Woo. Seeds. All right. Yeah. Seeds. I'm trying to think what I had on this one. Yeah, I do think it is, and I'm kind of going off the lyrics here. I think it is about making the proper steps of move forward and grow, which we kind of talked about on the title album. But I do love the idea and
the Dude and Groom Show.
You know, rain comes down like it always does. This time I've got seeds on ground.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, when shit's okay in life, you're not doing the preventative stuff or the things to
preventative maintenance, dude. Yeah,
exactly. Thinking of you, Mark. But you know, you're not doing the things to prepare yourself for maybe when things shit aren't so bad. Great.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, and so it's like, oh, this time I've got seeds on ground.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, you know what? Things are going to take root this time, right?
And, I learned something here. Exactly. I learned something here. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Also, dude, and I'm wondering if this is a direct. I'm sure it probably is. And if I had, and if you hadn't shown me all the things I never dreamed of, I do not think that I'd be missing you. So
wow.
And it's just like,
yeah, know, that's really, really good lyrics. I mean,
yeah, yeah. Really and good some lyrics. Of them are some of them are deep and way over my head.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have. You could have like some kind of a English class or a class.
Oh yeah, sure.
And really do a deep dive into some of his words and lyrics and stuff, which, you know, sometimes just let them be too. Right.
I hear you. Sometimes art is truly in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. All right, man, you're on the tee this time.
Am I?
You are. I did, Tommy.
You did.
What you got? What you got? What you got?
I found this to be a very difficult one to scratch.
Agree.
And dude, okay. I find all of them to be a very difficult one to scratch. So with that in mind, I'm going to say none of them. It's perfect. Just kidding. I'm not going to be that guy. Love Stained.
Oh, okay.
And again, not because of any dislike for it. I don't dislike any song on this album. It's just the other ones tend to have a little more of a hold on me than that one for various reasons that we talked about in highlighting each of the songs. That's just, I guess, the one that has the least hold on me. It's not it's not a question of disliking it. So,
yeah. I can't disagree with you there. We're not going to go into overtime.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be overly upset about it.
Okay, so I'm not getting a WTF ITS.
No.
What the fuck is that shit?
Because I could also easily go from test play right into ride, because I like ride. The TV on the radio version, not the, you know, the
Hillary
one. Yeah, or that one. So this one might, I might get it on this one. I'm actually going to go with Quartz, man. Track number one.
No, I'm not giving it to you on that one. I can understand that because it is kind of an abrupt way to start.
Yeah. And for me, when I think of an album, it is very important. Like I put so much emphasis on like how you start an album. And when we were talking about it, I thought I took your point and I did give it second thought for the next 23 minutes. And I was like, you know, that abrupt sort of start like that, maybe I give him some credit for that, because it's very, again, it's original. It's, you know, it's not
most the certainly way you, is
the way you do it. But then I look at the rest of the songs and I'm like, man, I think the rest of that song kind of doesn't like. It doesn't do anything for me. And like I said, when we were talking about, I feel like the song is kind of a warm up. And I could easily start with Careful You singing in French and everything. Like, I'm good there.
Yeah, this would also work. So
yeah,
no, I hear you.
And so you said your favorite song is Trouble, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'll tell you what, mine would be. It would either be Ride or Lazare, man. It might be Lazare.
Either one of those I can see, and they were like kind of on my short list for sure.
They're good songs.
Good
songs. Well, I think we should ask the fine people out there, one, what is your favorite song?
And what would you scratch?
And where do you rank this in TV on the Radio albums? Your favorite, somewhere in the middle? Are you just like, I don't know?
It's definitely my favorite album of theirs overall.
I think it's, I think it is my favorite. I think, you know, I will say, I think Dear Science for me is like a 1B, but I do place this one just above that,
Yeah.
I think.
I just think it flows better and it has less, for my money. Which I don't remember how much this costs, but worth every penny. This is the one.
This is the one, man. This is the one.
So
it's the one.
With that,
my friends, my family. I think
we scratched it.
Our friends, our family. Yes. We might as well say goodbye. We're going to be back sooner rather than later next week, I'm sure.
And you know something, dude? I like what you reminded the audience of last time, which is Mondays are fun, Wednesdays are scratches. I read that line stuck with me. I really like that.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah. All right. Hopefully it sticks with them too.
Dude,
all right.
One in a row. Yeah.
And it's time to go.
On the Dude Doom Show.
Scratch a Track is produced by the Dude and Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tims. Copyright 2021. The Dude and Grim Show.